T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for hanging out with us. It's Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Grant producing the show today. 1 hour from now, we'll hand things off to Vern for Vern's On Deck show. Getting set for the Royals and Tigers series finale against the Tigers. It'll be Brady Singer on the bump a little after 1 o'clock here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll talk to Vern here in about 15 minutes or so as he's speaking with Mike Matheny right now. We'll get the latest from Vern on that. Of course, Adalberto Mondesi in the lineup. It's been a while. He's been on the IL. He's only played in 7 games this year. This will be game number 8 as the Royals trying to snap a 5-game losing streak. I think this hour, one more win needs to be played. It needs to be played this hour. So that's coming your way before we get off the air at noon today. One more win. It's a day game. They're in a skid, to say the least. It's time. And it worked last time. The Royals had a day game and they were on a long losing streak. So that's going to be played again at some point in time. This hour also brought to you by the new Kansas City Women's Professional Soccer Team, KCNWSL. So Bill Belichick was talking the other day about Cam Newton, and he said Cam's way ahead of where he was last year at this time.
Sure.
There's no question about that. Now, if you remember this time a year ago, Bill Belichick was trying to sell us that Jared Stidham was going to be the starting quarterback, right? Remember that? It's like, we signed Cam, yeah, but Jared Stidham's going to be our guy, or before they had signed Cam. So I believe that, yeah, Cam probably is ahead of where he was this time last year, but the last Cam I saw was a washed-up Cam, and so that's what's odd. We know Cam Newton pre-Chiefs game that he didn't play in due to COVID. He was being discussed about comeback player of the year, potentially even should be in the mix for the MVP conversation. All looks stupid now, but that was the conversation.
That was the early stuff. Everyone looks stupid for not signing Cam Newton.
Yeah, like how could you not sign him to a small deal like that, looking at all these other teams? And then he got COVID, unfortunately. He didn't play against Kansas City.
And he was never the same.
So what's the expectation this year? They go and draft Mac Jones. That's the long-term plan. We'll see how it turns out. But plan, we talk about other teams that drafted rookie quarterbacks and whether or not they should start their guy right away, whether or not they should wait. We're all in agreement, though, right?
Nobody's in a rush on Mac Jones.
Mac Jones can wait a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton, though, I mean, this is it this year for him. Like, if the first month and a half of the season, because I think he gets a month and a half, if Cam Newton looks like he did on the back end of last year, knowing that he has way more weapons this go around, with them spending all that money on the tight ends in particular, and Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, then Cam Newton won't be a starting quarterback ever again in the league on a full-time basis. This is it for him. This is the year. I mean, he has to go out and perform. Has to do it. And I'm afraid for someone that enjoyed watching Cam when he was very, very good in an MVP season years ago, I just don't think that guy exists anymore. He looked like an old guy trying to throw a football. And he's not that old, but he's beat up. And he's not, he can still have the athleticism, no doubt. But that's not something that's puts him way above everybody else anymore in the league.
No, it's... I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. And you're talking about, like, some of the weapons they signed. But, I mean... Does he really, like, if you were ranking the Patriots' weapons versus the rest around the league, they're not
They don't have outside targets.
They just have tight ends.
Yeah, which for Cam, if his arm is what it looked like last year, is a big plus for him because sure. I don't think he's a guy
you don't want the outright threat anymore.
He's the guy you want as the safety blanket. And he's got two of them now, and Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. So I actually think for Cam, those were two good signings for him.
I don't even mind, like, for Bill Belichick. The problem is a lot of, like, what happens here in this league anyway is everyone thinks they're smarter than the other guy. Gold. Everyone thinks they got it all figured out. Like, Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, was essentially making fun of the fact he thought it was funny people thought they were interested in Mac Jones. Meanwhile, he has not made other successful, like the quarterback selection he had made to that point was Jimmy Garoppolo, and already wants him out the damn door. Bill Belichick can make fun of other people all he wants. Cam Newton did not end up working out that way. And there were reports, who knows if it was ever true, like he would have been fine with sticking with Jimmy Garoppolo instead of Tom Brady, but eventually did let Tom Brady go instead of, well, I don't know, putting stuff around Tom Brady. Because it turns out, I think I might have witnessed this last year, surrounding Tom Brady with talent still can end up in, what do you know, a freaking Super Bowl, right? Frustratingly enough for Kansas City fans, it turns out that you can still do those things. I do think it's make or break. And they're in a weird situation because they're one of their only outside, like, hey, he's could still get better guy, because like Mecole Hardman, right, for the Chiefs, is N'Keal Harry. And his trainer was on Twitter yesterday blaming Cam Newton for why he played poorly. And like the whole backstory of that is that Bill Belichick reportedly ignored his own scouts' evaluation of guys like A.J. Brown, some other guys who ended up being pretty good wide receivers, and instead took N'Keal Harry because he thought he was the guy. So he hasn't done a good job evaluating wide receivers over the last 5 years. So he hasn't done anything to help the cause. It's like, it's just football's hard when you don't have an all-time great quarterback. And I feel like even Belichick's learning that now.
Yeah, for as much as we do talk about Mecole Hardman here in Kansas City, just think about N'Keal Harry for a second. N'Keal Harry, who his rookie year played in 7 games and had 105 yards because he was hurt. N'Keal Harry last year, who played in 14 games and only had 309 yards on 33 catches. And an offense that had, by the way, no other, I mean, really, no. Edelman was still there, but still, Edelman was a shell of himself at times. Like, no other weapons. None. And so now this year, it's N'Keal Harry, it's Jonnu Smith, it's Hunter Henry, Edelman's retired. Who else is going to emerge? They went out and got some, like, middle-of-the-road wide receiver that, I can't remember who it was. Was it Kyle Brandt of NFL Network that was trying to talk up their outside? There was someone from NFL Network that was trying to talk them up. They don't have a whole lot of weapons. This is absolutely it for Cam, but I did think it was interesting that Bill Belichick said that he thinks that Cam's way ahead of where he was last year at this time. Well, that's because Cam entered the process so late a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, but I don't know. Isn't that the same as saying best shape of his life in spring training for baseball? Which I saw for Ezekiel Elliott the other day. Like, isn't that just kind of the same? Way ahead of where he was. Look, Cam, a lot of what has made Cam Newton, when he was great in this league, was he was just physically more gifted than so many people in the league, right?
Yeah, and that's just not the case anymore.
No,
it's not the case. And because
I don't think he ever
that,
like beat everybody, and he's never recovered from that and like been like, I'm the smartest guy who knows where to take the football no matter what guy. So maybe Bill can get that out of him. But that, you know, like the reason when he was dominant was he was incredibly physically gifted, better than anybody. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's going to move the needle.
Coming up in 20 minutes, your next chance at $1,000 international cash contest. And we'll also get to the Chiefs Red half hour and what Frank Clark had to say about Chris Jones and where Jones is going to play. And is that actually the right decision to move Chris Jones to the outside on the edge this season for the pass rush to help improve that? So we'll get to that in just a little bit. But let's talk some Royals baseball. They're coming up at 1 o'clock today to wrap up a series against the Tigers. And Vern's On Deck show coming your way at noon. And Vern joins us right now here on Cody and Gold. Typically joins us at 12:30. Obviously, Vern will already be on the air and wrapping up his pregame show as well. Vern, good to have you on, man. As far as today, I told you the last time Mondesi had come back that my bar was set pretty low.
Listen to this energy. Listen to the – normally when I come on with Cody and Gold, it's, all right, Royals baseball, here we go, our Royals insider. You can tell this team's dropped 10 of 11. It's getting to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how can it not – I mean, how does it not get to you? You've been through years. So, I mean, you're kind of used to the ups and downs. I think you always used to call it the Royal Coaster. We're certainly at the bottom of it right now.
I was irate after Monday's game. Last night, I actually enjoyed that game. It was unfortunate that the Royals lost, and it's top. No one wants to hear anyone on the radio say, hey, I know your team's lost 5 in a row, 10 of 11, but that was an enjoyable game. Monday was as angry as I've been since 2017. That game on Monday had me up way too late, angry about a game I have absolutely nothing to do with, but No, so yes, I understand where you're coming from, and I feel like I know where you're going with Adalberto Mondesi.
Yeah, and the bar, I mean, the last time we had you on, I said, you know, the bar of him coming back was low for me. Yes, we know what he can do defensively. We certainly saw in that small seven-game size sample size this year what he can do offensively as well. At this point, I mean, a month from now, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not in the lineup because he's banged up again. Like, I just, look, I hope he goes out and contributes today and helps the Royals snap this losing streak and everything, of course. No doubt about that. But just, yeah, my excitement, if it was still there last time around him coming back, today I'm kind of like, all right, great. Glad to see him in the lineup.
If he plays every game from here on out, that would be 103.
Right.
That would be a new career high, surpassing his 2019 total of 102. Games. So yeah, man. He's not going to play in every single game.
I was going to say, and
that'd be
take,
stupid. I feel like I would be right, mad at the right. Royals for doing it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think his final game total this year might be in the 70s.
Well, I think here's the best way to summarize Adalberto Mondesi in 2021, this season of the step forward. I'm no longer, and maybe the powers that be never were, but I'm certainly no longer looking at Bobby Witt Jr. and saying, all right, now where do you fit in outside of shortstop, right? Bobby Witt Jr., I'm treating him as the future shortstop of this team. The onus is now on Adalberto Mondesi to prove me wrong,
mm-hmm.
to maintain that spot, because right now I would be, even though Mondesi's the better defender of the two, Bobby Witt's fantastic. But Mondesi, I think, has an even stronger arm than Bobby Witt Jr. But to me, Adalberto is now the guy that I'm more inclined to move off of shortstop. Because I got a lot of second basemen. I got a few guys that can play third base. So maybe Mondesi goes to second base, and if that doesn't work out in the next coming years, you know, when he's banged up, Nicky Lopez is your second baseman. Or you can bring in a Whit Merrifield. I think the best way to summarize Adalberto Mondesi's season is that shortstop position, it's just no longer assumed that it's his for the next half decade.
When you're looking at where baseball's going to, because like you and I both know, Dayton is hitched his wagon to the young pitching. Now, look, one could argue that the breakdown in the MLB's decision to go after the sticky stuff comes at a bad time if you're trying to get young pitchers confident
sure.
at the major league level. That seems inconvenient, admittedly, mm-hmm. for a team that's going to call up all these young pitchers. But, you know, for them, and we're going to talk to J.J. Piccolo on Friday, what do you think the argument is for what's the missing link? Is it a mental thing? Is it just the normal gap? Is it the guys we have? Is it miss scouting? Like, what's the argument for the missing link right now for what's happening between the young pitchers before they come up and after? And I know you've mentioned before the 3 and 4 guys are there, but, you know, Singer hasn't been perfect and neither is Bubich.
And neither is Keller.
No.
You know, all three of them, by the numbers, have been below average this season. Well, I think what we're watching, especially with Bubich and Singer, is the real test for them, their first real opportunities to take that step forward, have happened in the past week. I mean, this now is starting the real grind of the Major League Baseball season. They've made 12 starts before. They've played in a 60-game season before. But what makes or breaks big league starting pitchers, what separates the good starters from the bad starters from the bad relievers, the good starters from the good relievers, is how many times can you do it? How many outs can you get every fifth day? And if you're unable to give me 15 outs every fifth day, well, then we got to start transitioning you to the bullpen. You can't truly understand what a guy can do on a consistent basis over a 60-game campaign like we saw last year. The guys that were all, and some people incorrectly assumed that all four of them would be guys that could eat up 150 to 170 innings for this Royals team, not maybe just this season, but for years to come. To me, I look at the final four and a half months of the season as the opportunity for Singer, for Bubich, for Kowar, for Lynch to truly let us know what kind of pitchers they're going to be. We got an idea with Singer, with Bubich last year, but the reason why I think you and I and all three of us really were so high on Brad Keller is because we've actually watched him go out there and throw 150 innings, do it for 162. So he's been disappointing, but I do think you got to throw in the caveat of whether it was the early season pressing from Brad Keller. It sure does seem as if the back-breaking defensive miscues seemingly always happen when Brad Keller's on the mound, from Whit Merrifield a few months ago to Kelvin Gutierrez in his most recent outing that turned that first inning into a four-run affair. So Keller, sure, it's disappointing, but I can explain that away. Singer, Bubich, Kowar, Lynch, man, I got my feet up. I'm watching them. I'm letting them tell me who they are. And so far, Singer is, I believe, a solid big league starter. Yes, his numbers leave some to be desired, but I think Singer's solid. Bubich, Kowar, and Lynch, man, it's up to them to prove to us, but I don't think we have a big enough body of work of either, any of those three, to truly make a declarative statement about what they're going to be moving forward.
Do you buy Tyler Glasnow's excuse for Major League Baseball that he is injured due to the fact that he has to grip his pitches better? Because I can hear reason there. Like, I could see why throwing different could get you hurt, Vern, but look, I don't know. Saying, like, I got hurt because you made me stop cheating feels a bit rich.
Yeah, I've always heard from trainers and men and women in the medical community of Major League Baseball. They always talk about how the elbow is the victim. And whenever there's any sort of ailment in the pitcher's body, whenever there's any sort of drastic change to a pitcher, the elbow is the victim. If your knee's banged up, that's likely, if you try to pitch through it, when you overcompensate, that pain is going to be felt by the elbow. So, sure, it's very possible. He knows his body much better than I know the human body, let alone, you know, his body. But the whole substance thing, man, it's unfortunate that the handful of pitchers have taken it to the level in which they have. But, man, I just hate how it always seems like when we talk about baseball, it's a lot of people who I don't think like baseball trashing baseball and telling me why it's suffering so much. But to your point, it could. I don't know necessarily what's going on in the elbow of Tyler Glasnow. I do know a lot of pitchers have torn their UCL. So it's not like, oh my God, Tyler Glasnow. No, a lot of guys tear their UCL, and sure, they were using sticky tack in years previous. So I honestly dismiss it somewhat.
Do you think, though, in a baseball, I guess, plan is by middle July to have some sort of universal substance allowed, whether it is going to be just the rosin bag, maybe it is going to be sunscreen, whatever it may be. Do you think they can wait till then, like knowing what the reaction has been to this? Do they need to speed this up to try to figure out if there is at least some sort of substance that can be used to grip the baseball? Because I know Brad Keller was even talking yesterday morning that he thinks that that's kind of what baseball should do, is figure out one substance that pitchers can use, make that legal, and then there's no question, hopefully, about any other substance being used.
Yeah, that seems to be the best option. I like what Mike Matheny said earlier today, talking about the baseballs they use over in Japan are just tacky naturally. Sure, that would be nice, but let's be honest. It's still pretty easy to cheat as far as using whatever you want, whether it's the sunscreen, whether it's still the spider tack, whatever it is. You put it in your hair, you put it inside your belt. I mean, put it in your armpit. I mean, it just doesn't seem as if, oh, well, now they mean, okay, well, I'll find somewhere else. Are you going to inspect me head to toe? I just don't see that going on for too long. So maybe deal with it for the next couple weeks, but I don't know. To me, it does, as long as you're not blatant about it, just like the steroid era. You know, if you're getting caught using steroids, it's because you're an idiot and you're not using the proper kind of steroids. Same thing here. If you get caught, you're the idiot because you're not hiding it well enough. If you're like that Pirates closer, Rodriguez, earlier in the season that just had a glob of it right in the middle of his glove, okay, you do something like that, you deserve to be popped for 10 games. Although we're paying you, your team doesn't get to replace you on the roster. But if you get caught, you're the idiot.
This feels like sneaking alcohol out of your parents' fridge. Like, if you weren't, like, replace the vodka with some water. No, do something, okay. Right?
I didn't know if we were going to say the old tricks, but yeah, exactly.
Why not?
Empty the Sprite bottle. It's easy.
Like, you know, like, let's, like, just don't make it so obvious that I have to call you out on it. All I'm asking
is. Don't worry why the Coca-Cola looks somewhat watered down. That's most certainly not whiskey. Don't worry about it.
I feel like that this is a. But, like, look, Vern, like you mentioned the handful of people. This is what baseball is saying. Is like, look, man, we tried to give you guys some leeway. Now you've taken it so far, you're giving us no choice. What do you want us to do? You're out here using stuff to, like, help people carry boulders.
And you know this, there's just too much money on the line. In all professional sports, there's corners being cut because there's millions and millions of dollars at stake and guys nipping at your heels, and they're probably cutting corners to take your job. To me, it is. Look, yes, everyone or a majority of pitchers use something, sure. But I do believe that it's just a handful of guys that are sitting there with the Rapsodo machine and all of the analytics and all the computers and just, all right, let me try this sticky stuff, throw it a few, look at the spin rate. Okay, that doesn't make a difference. All right, let's try this next one. Just going through it all. Those guys are obviously cheating, and they've ruined the fun for all of us.
Did you enjoy the deep conspiracy theory from Pete Alonso? I guess that was over the weekend about free agency. I mean, I loved it. I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I loved it.
I buy it. I mean, this is still a group of owners. I mean, collusion wasn't that long ago, right?
Yeah.
That was, what, 1983, 84? The owners got caught colluding against free agents. Sure, there's a lot of different owners, but a majority of them are still a bunch of greedy billionaires. So, no, I wouldn't put it past them whatsoever.
It doesn't seem like conspiracy theory enough for me to be like, no way.
Everything comes back to money. Yeah. Cutting the corners as far as the players are concerned, and Pete Alonso's conspiracy theory, man. It's crazy. You would think that, man, you're rich, you're good, but I mean, we all know the love of money, man.
Look, dude, if there was $300 million on the line, I'd have cheated a lot, Vern. Whatever it took.
Oh, without question. Oh, yes. No, man. I mean, I didn't even know what working hard meant as far as sports were concerned in high school, but if I did and then someone showed me what steroids could do for me, I certainly am not going to judge anyone that made that decision or makes the decision to use this sticky tack stuff, because I know I probably would to stay in this game, living that lifestyle, making that kind of money.
No question. That's Vern. Josh Vern, you're our Royals insider. You'll hear him coming up about 30 minutes from now. Vern's On Deck show. Thanks, man.
All right, thank you.
He'll get you set for the Royals and the Tigers series finale this afternoon, a little after 1 o'clock, first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up next, we'll give you a chance at $1,000 at our national cash contest, and it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Frank Clark on Chris Jones, and is it the right decision for the Chiefs to make this switch this year?
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get to what Frank Clark had to say about Chris Jones playing a different spot this year, at least at times, and is that the right decision? But first, right now, let's give you a chance at $1,000.
Your Dash for the Cash code word this hour in the National Cash Contest. I looked it up. I didn't count on Gold to find it. I didn't count on him to
do it. That's probably a good decision.
That's why it's a victory. That's the word. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory. Text that over to 72881 for your chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. We'll have another chance coming up for you in the drive after the show. So you're going to have to, you know, pay attention through the Royals game. Do what we're asking of you, which isn't asking too much. Do that, right? At least in there. And then you'll be okay for the cash contest. And the cash contest is powered by BetQL. That's BETQL. If you need more rules, go to 610sports.com for more information. More, that's victory. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y over to 72881.
Hopefully the Royals can get a victory this afternoon, snap this five-game losing streak. We're going to try to help. We're going to try to help. Here in a little bit, you're going to hear the hit single, One
Come
More
on.
Win. It has a
Grant's never heard this.
It has
this will be the first time to his ears, probably.
I'm excited.
It has a 100% success rate so far. it was last played during an 11-game losing streak on a day doubleheader.
And they're 1-10 in their last 11, so that's pretty much the same.
And so we felt like today's the time to snap this baby. So one more win will be played here in just a few minutes. But let's talk some Chiefs football before we do hand it off to Vern for Vern's On Deck show coming your way at noon right here on 610 Sports Radio. And then, of course, Royals baseball, a 1-10 first pitch. Brady Singer on the bump. Frank Clark spoke yesterday, and he was asked about something that had been rumored and kind of speculated on for a while here this offseason. Would they utilize Chris Jones in a different way? Chris Jones is one of the top four interior defensive linemen in football, and I might even be shortchanging him a little bit by saying top four, as a matter of fact, but he is. He's one of the best at his position. So typically you say, okay, do you want to move someone to another area when they already are one of the best at that given area? But the acquisition of Jaron Reed allowed them this flexibility, which is that it seems as though, we don't know exactly how much, he's playing on the outside this year is Chris Jones. It's going to happen.
Seems obvious now, they're at least exploring that.
Not going to be 100% of the time. It might not even be 70% of the time. It could be 50-50. It could be even less than that.
It could be 40-10.
But Jaron Reed gives them that flexibility. And this is what, you know, what Frank Clark even said yesterday about Chris Jones playing out on the edge this year, what it means for this entire defensive front.
Man, I think it kind of opens up the game more, honestly. You find a lot of times, you know, we made it easier on teams to make adjustments and stuff last year when me and Chris lined up on the same side. And, I mean, that's due to the position. You know, it's only so much you can help when, you know, you got one guy playing three tech and you got another guy playing the end. But, you know, Chris going to the end position, it just opens up the game much more. You know, it makes it harder. You know, now they got to pick a size, you know, whether we're going to slide right or we're going to slide left. You know, we just know now it's, you know, it's a higher chance that we're going to be able to give, you know, better looks and stuff like that from the offense.
This decision doesn't happen if it's not for Frank Clark struggling based off of what he's getting paid. This move
or
doesn't
if they
happen.
Found another defensive end.
This move doesn't happen if they don't sign Jaron Reed. Like, what was the plan entering the offseason? I would love to know initially. Were they thinking that at one point they were going to evaluate and draft a top tier edge rusher at 31, hard to find one that's going to have an impact right away at 31. Sure. Did they think that Melvin Ingram was that solution? They brought him in for a visit. Either A, is he not healthy? Did you want too much money?
I don't think any of those things.
Whatever it may be. Or all along, did they say, you know what? We can go get Jaron Reed, who's also one of the better interior defensive linemen. We can have
He's
him
cheaper.
Be that guy. Jaron Reed's not a guy we can put on the outside. He's an interior guy. Chris Jones is athletic enough. We think we can get some more pressure by having Chris Jones occasionally line up outside. And I think not just outside, Cody. I think he's going to line up everywhere on the defensive line, on both sides. Like, I think Frank Clark and them can flip a case. I think you're going to see them move Chris Jones around a lot to cause some issues for opposing the offensive lines to try to point out and figure out where he's at. He's, you know, I use the example not that the production will match J.J. Watt by any means, but what do we think about J.J. Watt? We always know he's all over the place. Every play, he lines up almost in a different spot. I could see them utilizing Chris Jones in that way, where he's going to be the right tackle, thinks he knows where Chris Jones is that play, well, and then the Chiefs are going to line him up over the left tackle. Then they're going to line him over the center. They're going to move Chris Jones around a lot to try to bring some pressure, get some extra pressure that, frankly, they thought they could get solely by acquiring Frank Clark. And in the regular season, it just hasn't been there solely. They need some extra help, and maybe Chris Jones is the answer to that on the outside.
This tells us they're done. They're done shopping. Like, and look, they didn't have a lot of money to begin with. The second the cap numbers went down, they didn't have the kind of money. Remember, like, you and I'd be interested in Melvin Ingram. I'd be good with Justin Houston. I don't think they're going to pay either of those guys. Unless they go through these mini camps and be like, boy, Chris Jones can't play on the outside. Let's not kid ourselves. But I don't think that that's going to be the case. He's a really good athlete. He's not prototypical in size for defensive end. That could work out both to his advantage and to his detriment, right? Does he have the bend of a guy on the outside? But also, is a right tackle used to the kind of push that he would bring on the inside? Like, imagine getting bull rushed by a guy who normally plays excellent interior defensive line. That doesn't seem fun at all. A lot of him is just taking advantage of his own skill set, which I think Chris Jones can do. I think a lot of this comes back to exactly what you said. They got to cover Frank Clark somehow, which is a shame, right? It's a shame because monetarily, you would have liked to feel like you had one pass rusher you can count on. They also didn't necessarily pay them to do that. So they paid him to be the 10-sack guy he talks about being, so I'm not overly, this is ridiculous. But yes, it's obviously the right plan. What other plan is there? Like, you don't have another guy on the edge you can trust unless you think Taco Charlton's staying healthy or Joshua Kane to a fourth-round defensive end is all of a sudden the kind of guy you can count on in a heavy rotation basis. Not to take 10% of the snaps as a rookie or 5% of the snaps as a rookie like, I don't know, Tano Passanio did, but instead to find a guy who can take 30, 40, 50% of the snaps like you need on the outside now. This is the way it's going to work. They're going to mix and match that, and I think it makes them better. I think it can make them better in the early down rushing game too, which is like a weird byproduct of this. We talk about it all from the pass rush thing, but I think it can improve that as well.
I mean, there's a chance where Chris Jones could become a big problem for teams on the outside. We know at times he can be a big problem in the interior, and generally speaking is. But Chris Jones, for right tackle, with his athleticism, I think, and where you're not, you know, you're not going to see him every play to get a good feel of him, where he's just going to be in spot situations, maybe out on the edge, but maybe a little increase.
Sure.
I think he could be a big problem for your right tackles out there, maybe occasionally even a left tackle if they line him up over on that side. But, yeah, I mean, look, even if you want to look back and talk
Frank
about
Clark's
the
Frank Clark side every once in a while, the guy who didn't train for that guy.
Exactly. And so I think that's the advantage that maybe you have this season if they're going to utilize him with Spags' defensive scheme in that way. I also think, though, if you look at and talk about the acquisition of Frank Clark and how everybody views that, the one thing you can't do is just say, well, yeah, okay, it didn't work out. We're just going to have to live with it. No, this organization time and time has shown that they are going to attack any glaring hole or problem. This past offseason, they went out into the most extreme, went out and improved the offensive line you could possibly do. There wasn't that extremely talented pass rusher really available in this offseason within reason. So what did they do? Like, what can we do? Well, we're going to take one of the best defensive linemen. Yeah, he's an interior guy.
We're
going to
make ourselves a little bit worse in the interior.
Yep, but we feel like it's worth what the pressure is. If you told me suddenly the Chiefs are going to have...
And that's what their talent is. They got more talent on the inside. They can cover it better.
Yeah, if the Chiefs are going to have less success in the interior line, but all of a sudden they've got, I don't want to say dominant, but they've got a very effective edge rusher now in Chris Jones... That's a bigger problem for every team than it is just having Chris Jones on the inside because of the personnel you have. And guess what? It alleviates any of your concern with the secondary. If you're concerned about Snead living up to expectation, if you're concerned that Charvarius Ward is going to either continue to regress or just be what he was last year, which was an okay corner, and you're not buying into Baker and Hughes, then this is another way to make those guys look all hell of a lot better. What's one way to help out your corner who's on an island out there than getting to the quarterback as quickly as possible from both sides and not just saying, oh, if I'm an opposing offensive line, yeah, we'll worry about Frank Clark. They don't have anybody on the other side. Yeah. No, now you might have to worry about Chris Jones. I like the idea behind it. I don't know if it's going to work. Okay. We'll find out.
No, but I am supportive of doing it.
The thought process makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. And Jaron Reed's the reason why you can do this.
And by the way, if it doesn't work, then you go back to the exact same thing you were last year. Frank Clark is a six sack guy. Chris Jones is a 7.5 sack guy who's disruptive in the middle. And you pray, hope, that somebody on the outside occasionally finds a quarterback. That's the exact same situation they were on the defensive line last year. Nothing changes. Like, this plan at least gives you a chance. And because of the addition of Jaron Reed, who, by the way, would have been the third best pass rusher on last year's team, like, the fact that he is now, again, your third best pass rusher, right? We would hope, now that you have another guy who's capable of getting 5 to 7 sacks. He might not, but he's capable of doing that number because it's been like 2 1 year and 6 the other, so who knows. But if he's capable of that number, then at least you were significantly better off. We only have about 8 minutes left. Do we need to play one more win?
Let's get to one more win right now. We need some positive vibes and some confidence building after it's been a rough 2 weeks, frankly, Royals-wise. And they've lost 5 in a row now. It's an afternoon game. They need something from Brady Singer. Monacy's back in the lineup. Yeah, one win. Not one more.
It's not a doubleheader today, so some of the lyrics won't make sense. But the rest really do still track.
Yeah, just ignore the doubleheader part, but it's another day game. The last time this song was played, the Royals snapped a losing streak and got going. We're going to try that again today. This is the hit single. One more win.
The Royals, can you get a win today? It's been hard to watch you play. I just need one win. How long has it been? Just one win today.
What else
do you need from me? I will let the bullpen be. We can just forgive Dozier. Remember when it's rosier. I'll let the rotation slide, even though every night I've cried. Do I need to call next of kin? Because you're dead without a win. Just one win today. It's a doubleheader anyway. I'm not even asking for both. Please, this time, don't choke. please, just one more win. One win today. You can do it anyway. I just need the streak go for today. A late home run will work. I don't mean to be a jerk. Please, just one more win. Win today.
Hey, Royals. It's Ryan. I'm not here asking for much, but Cody's right. It's time for a win. Two chances are better than one. I know it's been a while and it's easy to forget how it feels, but trust your body and just go get that win today.
What else do you need from me? I will let the bullpen be. We can just forgive Dozier. Remember when it's rosier. I'll even let the rotation slide. Even though every night I've cried. Do I need to call next of kin? Because you're dead without a win. Just one win today. It's a doubleheader anyway. I'm not even asking for both. Please, this time don't choke. Please, just one more win. One win today. You can do it anyway. I just need this streak over today. A late home run will work. I don't mean to be a jerk. Please, just one more win. One win today.
I mean, it's not a doubleheader, last but the rest time, of that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, not a
the rest
doubleheader.
Of that really plays.
It worked last time. It worked last time. The text line says it needs a music video for this song, and also it sounds like you're trying to seduce the Royals.
There'll be at least one part where it goes black and white, to be clear. And we'll be in, like, white suits. Be like that all for one video.
Gotta happen.
I got a lot of, like, 90s R&B song videos to, like, work with creatively if there was a video for that song. I've only done one video. Does that mean I need to
That's
do a second?
It's the second most catchy song you've done, I think.
Besides No No Chance?
Yeah. Happy Birthday Patrick will come back in September around
his
birthday.
It's been a while since we've heard that one, so like it doesn't get stuck in your head the same way. Grant, this is the first time of him hearing any of the music I've done on this show.
I'm inspired.
Like, you heard a jingle yesterday, now you've really heard the depths of my musical capabilities.
Yeah, although, I got a sampling yesterday, and now it's kind of like a full course.
Wasn't that just straight Boys to Men?
Absolutely.
It's a bit of a boost.
I felt like my Spotify had leaked out onto the radio.
Inspired by Boys to Men.
Someone said reminded them of the Catalina wine mixer from Step Brothers.
Look, we got to do something, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, because, like, this is the last 2 weeks have sucked. Really.
Last two weeks have sucked.
They're going further and further down 500. And not a whole lot positive around the lineup and the team right now at the big league level.
And then Benintendi just got hurt, so just
felt
like
he's
was
out
sliding.
For a while. Mondesi's back in the lineup, although again, like I'm glad to see him back in the lineup, but I'm very reserved on what I'm expecting and also my excitement because a month from now he very well could be back hurt again because that's just how things have gone. Unfortunately, I hope that's not the case. But yeah, Brady Singer's on the bump. Nobody's pitching all that well except for Mike Minor at times, and that's about it. Need something for Brady Singer, especially because he's one of the younger arms. The young arms in the last 2 weeks have not been impressive at all. None of them.
It would be nice to get out of a start and feel good one game
at a
young starter. Keller was bad yesterday. Obviously, Kowar and Lynch hadn't been good. Like, all the young starters, the guys who have been pitching well are guys like Mike Minor. Irvin Santana pitched well in his, like, backup to a start situation. He actually pitched well in the one start he had, too. But I don't know. I feel like I need something to feel good about today. Plus, that was not just our idea. There were multiple people who had requested one more win because they realized the last time we did it, it worked.
If it works today and the Royals win, then
it's got to be played anytime there's a streak of like four. Like, we got to lower the number.
We already lowered that. The bar initially was 6-game losing streak or worse. Then we're at five. We said
and
five,
10 out of 11,
that's
close enough.
Five's enough. So you got your wish. You got one more win, and we're going to hand it off to Vern here coming up at noon for Vern's On Deck show. He'll get you set for the Royals series finale against the Tigers. Brady Singer on the bump at 110. I'm thinking about going out there after the show today. It's going to be a hot one, but I'm thinking about going because my record's been pretty good this year. I'm carrying a 4-1 record into this game.
So maybe you can bring us a little extra.
So maybe we got to get all the momentum going. We got to get all the forces together to try to flip this thing a little bit. We're off the show early. Why not? I'm thinking about going out to the K. Why not?
It's not like you're busy.
Nope.
Normally
planning on being here till 2:30 anyway.
normally you'd be hosting a show during that time. So if you're not going to host, why not watch Royals baseball? Makes sense to me.
I'm kind of thinking. I haven't been out there in a little while. So, and they've been losing. So I'm just saying.
You're open to it. If you can get your hand on.
And frankly, if you want to know the real truth, I told Rob this the other day. Normally today would be prime pool day. Off the show early, go to the pool. Some idiot ruined the pool at the apartment complex for now. So it's
they
another
never sent
reason
a follow
why.
Up?
No, although I walked by it. It looks perfectly fine. I don't know what the issue is. I thought I was going to visually see a mess. Nothing's wrong with it. I don't know why it's closed.
Someone pooped in it.
Today would have been... Well, it's a saltwater pool. Would that make it easier?
You got to drain it.
Would that make it easier to clean or harder to clean? Like...
Tough to say.
The chlorine would make it easier. The saltwater is probably more difficult to clean.
I don't know. Excuse me. La-ti-da. Look at him, Rob. His apartment.
No, I'm just saying. That's what they
pool.
Have. It's a saltwater pool.
Feels like a brag. Grant,
that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, no, that's what they have. It's a saltwater pool. Yeah.
What do you mean? That's
what they told you they have.
No, it's
that's what rich people have.
No, it's definitely saltwater. I can attest to it.
Is it better for your skin or something?
I mean, I think it is, but I don't know if that's why they do it. I think it is. Something like that.
Rich people like it, so there must be some benefit, right?
Rich people like it. I don't know, man.
That's a rich person thing, isn't it? Am I wrong?
I think it's a nicer...
I'm not knocking. Like, if you have a saltwater pool for you on the text line, congrats.
I think it's a little nicer. Ready. Yeah, I think it's a little nicer thing to have. I think it costs a little bit more to maintain.
Lower
I don't know.
Chlorine levels, much gentler on the eyes and skin.
There you go. All about it. All about it.
Safer. Force owners to not handle unsafe chemicals is what this says.
Plus, you can float if you can't swim.
Man, I don't think there's that much salt in there. This isn't the Red Sea. It's not the Red Sea in there.
You should try.
It's a rich person pool. You don't know. You put as much salt as they want in there.
I'm not so sure about that. Thanks to Grant for producing today. We're back at it tomorrow. We'll have a full show from 10 to 2. For now, though, we're handing off to Vern. He'll get you set for Royals baseball here on 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.